Today's reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It's a real pleasure to be able to share with you. It is a slightly surreal feeling stood in my lounge and but it's great that we can still gather together online and be encouraged with one another through God's word this morning. Our passage today contains within it some of the most exciting truths about Jesus and what he has achieved through his resurrection. David, in his prayer, was recapping Easter. Last week, we celebrated Good Friday, the day that Jesus died on the cross. He died so that he made a way for us to know God as a friend. He took upon himself all of our sin, our shame, all of our wrongdoing. He died in our place so that we can go free, so that we can know God as a friend. Then on Easter Sunday, we celebrated how Jesus conquered death. Jesus is the only man to have ever risen from a grave, the only man to come back to life and remain alive. Because of the resurrection, everything has changed. Well, in our passage today, the author is a man named Peter, and you may remember how Peter was one of Jesus's 12 disciples. And in some ways, our passage could be viewed as a testimony to Peter's own experiences in his life. Peter has experienced his own transformation through the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And now Peter writes this letter, and in it he outlines the what now of the resurrection. What does it mean that Jesus has in fact risen from the grave? Peter outlines that for us here. And that's what we're going to be thinking about, the what now of the resurrection. So if you have a Bible with you, keep it open on our passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, or you can click on the link that's in the comment section on YouTube, and that'll take you to the passage. And we're going to work our way through what is a really exciting and encouraging passage of Scripture. Well, the opening verse in today's passage, like I said, it contains some of the most exciting and encouraging descriptions of what Jesus has achieved through his resurrection. In verse 3, we read that just as Jesus entered into new life through the resurrection, so may also we now experience what Peter calls a new birth. In the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says that if anyone is in Christ, i.e. if anyone has put their trust in Jesus, then they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That is what Peter calls here the new birth. Maybe years ago, sometimes still today, this used to be called being born again. It's that moment where you put your trust in Jesus and anything that's taken place in your life in the past is put on the cross, it's diminished, and you can start a new life with Jesus. In our passage, Peter calls that a new birth. And he links this idea of a new birth with the phrase, a living hope, a living hope. So what is the hope that Peter is speaking of? Well, it's not the wishful thinking that is often associated with the word hope today. What I mean by that is often in today's society, we might say things like, oh, I hope it doesn't rain, or I hope I pass my driving test, or I hope that thing I did doesn't get me into trouble. That's wishful thinking, and that's not the kind of hope that Peter has in mind here. The hope that Peter is speaking of here, if you look at the Greek, the language in which this was written, the word hope that we have could be translated as an eager and confident expectation. I love that, an eager and confident expectation. Unlike wishful hope of this world, this is a living hope, an eager expectation. It's energizing, it's alive, it's active. It's a deep expectancy within the soul of a believer. To be a living hope is to live with great expectation and certainty for the future. So the question is, what is it that Christians can be certain of? Well, the thing that we can be certain of, the thing that we can hope for, is what Jesus has already achieved for us through his resurrection. It's what Peter calls in verse 4, our inheritance. So what is our inheritance? What is the inheritance that Peter is speaking about? Let's think about that for a moment. Well, one of the ways that we celebrate Easter is by giving each other chocolate eggs. It's a slightly random thing that we do, but let's not knock it because we get chocolate out of it. And the egg, I believe, is meant to remind us of a new creation at this time of year. But here's the thing about chocolate eggs at Easter time. Easter eggs perish. They don't last forever. Eventually, they will run out. Perhaps you have already eaten all of your Easter eggs and it's only been a week. I know that I've already eaten my Easter eggs. Easter eggs spoil. They don't last a lifetime. They don't last forever. Easter eggs go out of date. If you were to go to a supermarket now, I could guarantee you that there would be loads of Easter eggs on the shelves at a reduced price, because they are trying to sell them off before they go out of date. Chocolate spoils. Easter eggs spoil. Easter eggs, they also fade. When you eat the same food over and over and over again, the taste of how nice it is begins to fade away. Easter eggs fade. Well, why am I saying this? Why am I saying that Easter eggs perish and spoil and fade? Well, the reason I'm saying it is because in our passage today, we see an amazing truth. And that is that because of the resurrection of Jesus, he has brought for each of us an inheritance that will never perish. It will never run out. An inheritance that will never spoil. It will never go out of date. An inheritance that will never fade. It will taste as good on the millionth day as it will on the first day. What is that inheritance? It is eternal life in heaven with God. The reality is that for many people at this time of year, because of the coronavirus, our earthly inheritance has been spoiled. And that is really sad. But the Bible tells us that our ultimate inheritance, the inheritance that we receive through Jesus' resurrection, can never spoil. It can never fade away. It will never perish. There's nothing that can stop and make our inheritance in heaven spoil. It is a remarkable truth. So to live your life as a living hope, as Peter describes in our passage today, it means to live your life in the knowledge of this inheritance, to live your life in the knowledge that one day you will spend eternity with God in heaven. It is to live your life as if the things that are unseen are in fact seen. So I wonder, how might this heavenly perspective change us today? Well, first of all, I think that people should be able to see us, see how Christians live their lives and think there's something different about that person. The decisions that that person makes is based upon what they believe will happen when they die, not based upon what is happening around them today. How they choose to spend their money is based upon their heavenly inheritance. How they choose to raise their children is based upon their heavenly inheritance. How they respond to a crisis like coronavirus is based upon their heavenly inheritance, not on what's happening around them, not on society's moral code. Second of all, I think the knowledge of this heavenly inheritance, this perspective that we have as believers, with that comes a great assurance. And with assurance comes a sense of peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And because of this peace that we have, we can deal with hard times when they come. It's perhaps not a great surprise that straight after speaking about the hope we have for our heavenly inheritance, that Peter begins to speak about overcoming times of trial. Peter begins to talk about how suffering proves the genuineness of our faith. In our passage in verses 6 and 7, it's thought that Peter is talking specifically about the trials and suffering experienced through persecution. And although we're not currently experiencing persecution as such, we are experiencing difficult times and troubling times. And so there are lessons we can learn from what Peter says here. The first thing I'd like to say is that suffering of any kind is a refining process. This means that when we go through hard times in life, we discover what it is that is really important. I'm sure over the past couple of weeks, many of us will have had our priorities shifted, our priorities challenged, our priorities reordered. And in verse 7, Peter explains that our faith is of greater worth than gold. In other words, Peter's saying that the things that this world says are valuable, actually those things aren't worth as much as having faith in Jesus. I think what Peter is saying here is that in times of trial and in hardship, we discover that our faith is more valuable than anything else we have. It's during hard times that we realize that there's certain things that don't actually matter that much. But what we discover is the thing that does matter is Jesus, having faith in Jesus. Many of us will have had things taken away from us over the past few weeks. And through that process, we'll have discovered what it is that really counts. I'd like to encourage you this morning that the thing that counts the most is Jesus. If I think back through my life, the times when I've faced difficulty and hard times have in fact been the times that my faith has moved from the background to the foreground in my life, in my thinking. I wonder whether that is true for you also. A prayer of mine at the moment is at the end of this time of lockdown, we might emerge, many people might emerge from this, and be able to say that they know Jesus better now than they did at the beginning of this lockdown. That people would emerge and say, my faith was strengthened throughout that time of lockdown. My faith became the main thing in my life throughout that time of lockdown. I realized what really mattered. And the thing that mattered most during that time was following Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing that at the end of this, we would emerge and say, I know Jesus better after that experience. In verse 7, Peter uses imagery of gold being heated up in a fire. Oddly, Peter is saying here that suffering is actually a strange gift. The reason it's a strange gift is because it burns away false hopes. It burns away distractions in our lives. And it reminds us of the true hope. So paradoxically, life's hardships actually work to deepen our faith and make it more genuine. Interestingly, as gold is heated in a fire, impurities within the gold float to the surface so that they can be scraped off. And likewise, when we face hard times in life, when the heat is upon us, so to say, then the impurities in our lives rise to the surface so that they can be scraped off, so that we can focus more on Jesus. And in turn, it actually makes us more useful to God, as the things that were distracting us are taken away and we can focus on Jesus. But that's not to say that hard times aren't difficult. They are. And sometimes when we go through trials and struggles, many of us might question, where is Jesus? And that is an understandable question to ask, because we can't physically see Jesus next to us. But Peter addresses this in verse 8. Verse 8 keeps in theme with the resurrection. And these words in verse 8, they actually remind us of Jesus's words with Thomas, doubting Thomas. When Jesus rose from the grave, Thomas doubted that Jesus had really risen. And it wasn't until he touched Jesus that he believed that he had risen. And in response to this, Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And again, now in our passage today, we hear words to that effect. Only now in verse 8, we discover what the blessing is. Peter tells us that the blessing of believing in Jesus, even though we don't see him, is an inexpressible and glorious joy. I absolutely love that phrase. You believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Where does that joy come from? Well, in verse 9, we see that the joy that you can experience as a Christian comes as an end result of our faith. In fact, Peter says that this joy is connected to our salvation, which is a really clever way of Peter linking back to our inheritance. We've already heard that because of the resurrection, we have a living hope as we look towards our inheritance in heaven. And now we discover that the end result of our faith, which is salvation or our inheritance in heaven, actually provides for us a joy deep within our souls. In other words, we have a living hope for our inheritance in heaven, but we are experiencing that inheritance now through a joy deep within us. That is remarkable. What we see in this passage is that hope and joy are joined together. They're held together by our inheritance in heaven. They're held together by our salvation, all made possible through Jesus's resurrection. When we trust in Jesus, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It is that feeling deep within our souls. It's the emotion you can know that during hard times in life, you can still know joy. It is the end result of your faith. And maybe you're watching this and you don't know that joy. You don't know what it feels like to know joy in the midst of hard times. Well, can I encourage you to explore the person of Jesus? Because in Jesus, you will find that peace, that joy, that hope. And if you have any questions, then please do contact the church. In the midst of any difficulty we may face, but particularly here, persecution, we can experience a joy that comes from knowing we are saved. That despite whatever we may face, our souls are safe in heaven. It leads us to be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And so as I come in to conclude my talk, how should we respond from these words in 1 Peter chapter 1? 3 to 9. Well, I'd like to suggest that you can respond to these words in three ways. The first is with hope, but not just any hope, hope with an eager expectation that for those who trust in the Lord, we can be confident about our future because we know we have an inheritance in heaven. You can hope with an eager expectation. The second is to persevere. When we face hard times, we persevere. The Bible tells us that this produces character and character hope. But more than that, during hard times, our faith is refined. We discover more about who Jesus is. And finally, courage. Because Jesus is with you. And despite not being able to see him, we can still believe in him. And through that, we can experience this joy that I've spoken about. By his spirit, Jesus has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And so you can take great courage from that during this time. Those three things again. Hope with an eager expectation. Perseverance and courage. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the encouragement that we have from your word today. Lord, I do thank you that we have new life in Jesus and through his resurrection, we have a living hope for our inheritance in heaven. I thank you that when we put our trust in you, we can experience that joy, the inexpressible and glorious joy. Lord, I thank you that throughout this strange and hard time, you are refining our faith. We are discovering more about Jesus and you are strengthening us through it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this week as we go about our business. In Jesus' name, amen.